Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Thank you so much for being here. This video is about Putin's escalatory nuclear rhetoric. The thing is, we've heard it all before. He sounded like a stuck record. He's actually rather tedious, all this bluff and bluster, and it's totally unworthy of belief. I was a bit spooked at the beginning of the war, this talk of his lightning fast reaction against anybody who tried to intervene. Now, they weren't going to send troops, but they did furnish the Ukrainians with arms. But you way back 2014, around the time of the invasion of Crimea, Russia said, you know, if you arm Ukraine anyway, that's menacing us, you're escalating. No, it's helping them defend their own sovereign territory is not escalatory. You invading them, that's escalatory. You threatening Ukraine and other countries, that's escalatory. They will always play the victim on this one. You know, if I punch you, ooh, you see, you smashed your face into my knuckles. That's really sore for me. That's their logic. So in a way, it's reassuring that he should be forced to resort to this, because it shows the war is going badly for him. As one Russian commentator, he really punctured the pomposity of some of these war hawks in Russia, saying, if the war is going so well, why are we even talking about nuclear weapons? So that's been the great equalizer. Nikita Khrushchev, an evil man like Putin, but a more rational one, said, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, we talk about who won and who lost. Human reason won, okay? Common sense won. The only way to win a nuclear war is just not even allowing it to start, because the so-called winner would sustain tens of millions of deaths. You know, one of those bombs that dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the modern one's about 100 times more potent, and I do mean 100 times. So they, one of these would just vaporize a mega city. So we don't want this to happen. But so he's trying to frighten people, and part of me thinking, no, I don't think he's going to do it. But if there's even a 1% chance he's going to do it, we can't take that chance. But the experts, the spy satellites say no change in nuclear posture. It's all just hot air. And we've heard it so many times early in the war. Well, if you supply tanks, then, you know, I'll do something against you. You supply jets, I'll do something against you. You supply those HIMARS, I'll do something. Again and again and again, it's always fallen short, saying, well, if you're going to arm my foes, I can arm yours, like, let's say, the Houthi rebels or something like that. And there's no evidence they've done so. There are claims, and probably untrue, unsubstantiated claims, that they paid the Taliban a bounty for every American killed several years ago. That one I don't credit. I don't know it to be bogus. They've certainly helped terrorist organizations in Libya. They certainly helped the Syrian regime and things like that. The Russian mercenaries all over Africa, in Mali, Burkina Faso, the Central African Republic, Mozambique, the Democratic Republic of Congo, frankly, countries that Western countries don't care about very much. Nevertheless, so Russia does have a long arm. And actually, what a waste of scarce resources from Russia. If Ukraine is your main effort, withdraw Redut and Wagner Group and whoever else, and throw them all into the main fight, and they make more progress. And by the way, Russia actually is making some progress. Finally, Vuhledar, the city, is not already fallen, it's about to. And the Ukrainians are openly saying, we're evacuating. They'd rather see territory than lose troops. Surely the right calculation. It's a bit like Bakhmut Avdiivka in the last couple of years. And they've been fighting that on and off for 2 years. Obviously, there have been periods where it's intensified, where it's de-intensified, but it's become the vortex of the war right now. That's why on the 20th of September, Vladimir Vladimirovich released this statement saying that he'd adjusted Russia's military doctrine, and said that any aggression, even from a country without nuclear weapons, if it was supported by a nuclear power, that would be regarded as a joint attack. Okay, so if you aid Ukraine militarily, then you make yourselves a target. This is what he said. It would clearly set the conditions for Russia's transition to the usage of nuclear weapons. So he said that if Russia receives reliable information about the weapons being launched across their borders. So the president then said that, I mean, that Moscow has the right to use nuclear weapons if there's an attack on Belarus as well as Russia. Okay, so so it's in a document. It's not just something he said on camera. All right. So it's part of their psychops. It's meant to be intimidatory in effect, to frighten people into no longer supporting Ukraine. But it's a boy who's crying wolf, and that's why people no longer credit it. It'll fall on deaf ears. But the timing of it, I think, is significant, when the US presidential race is really heating up. 2 months to go now. It was just before that vice presidential debate, which actually scarcely mentioned Russia. Tim Walz recognized he's feeble. He's an ignoramus on foreign affairs, so he hardly said anything about it. And J.D. Vance has seemed to have trounced him in that debate. But, you know, that'll have a minimal impact on the outcome, because we know they will say that, what's his name, Lloyd Bentsen wiped the floor with Danforth Quayle. Nevertheless, Dan Quayle became vice president. Also meant to clear the pitch for the Democrats, and then Putin saying he endorsed the Democrats, lie. He's saying that because otherwise to make it less obvious that he wants Trump to win. Of course he wants Trump to win. He even said that he wanted Trump to win the 2016 race. And it's because obviously he really discredits the United States. Someone such an imbecile, someone such a pathological liar, make the US government even less trusted than before, someone who's so incredibly divisive, so racist, someone who's so grossly offensive to other countries, who talked about withdrawing from NATO, who may well be a Russian agent, who they've tried to use compromat on since the 1980s, who's up to all financial skullduggery, was getting loans from Russian banks in return for what? And, you know, who talked about betraying Ukraine, who talked about betraying Ukraine again, saying he'd make peace on day one, I suppose by pulling the plug on Ukraine. So, of course, it would very much play into Putin's hands to do that. Trump would give America such a bad name. There's a lot wrong with Harris. She's also evil, but on Ukraine, she is good. Anyway. So here we have in this documents. I remember reading that John Reed's 10 Days That Shook the World about the Russian Revolution. And there's one phrase that struck home and stayed with me because it sums up what I know about Russia, that elevated respect for documentation. Of course, he was writing in an era when only about 20% of people were literate. So law is a fiction in Russia. The government violates its own law grossly every single day, but they're still yet very legalistic. And they want their documents as well. So that's why he likes to carry the nuclear pillow all the way around. He's trying to terrorify people. Germany has long debated, will they give the Taurus cruise missile to Ukraine? And the Chancellor Olaf Scholz has again said no. So they're a bit worried about that. Longer range weapons. There's all this debate. Will Ukraine get those Storm Shadow missiles, or SCALP, as the French call them, especially be able to strike deep into Russian sovereign territory? And though they're French and British made, they do need the US permission, because the United States, I think, controls the satellites which allow for targeting. And Joe Biden's saying no, and it doesn't look like he's going to change his tune on that one, because that would help them a lot. I mean, Russia's already had to pull back a lot of planes and valuable assets because of what Ukraine is doing, but that would put so much more in range. There have been some significant Ukrainian hits, quite major ammunition dump blown up a few days ago. And yet still Russia is grinding forward. We know that the war is going badly. He's even publicly announced how many men they're drafting, and it's an increase from the year before, increase in a shrinking pool of men. It's not shrinking too dramatically, but this war's dragged on and on. I mean, I think people overestimate the threat that this war is to the regime. People compare it to the Afghanistan war. And I think the Afghan war was a minor factor in the fall of the Soviet Union. Remember, the Soviet Union withdrew from Afghanistan over 2.5 years before the collapse of the Soviet Union. It wasn't that many people killed in Afghanistan. The Soviets admitted to 14,000. Even if it was several times that, yeah, that's bad. Over 10 years for a country of 300 million people, that's not very much. You know, obviously, Russia's lost way more in Ukraine, way, way more, like 120,000 dead is a conservative estimate, about triple that injured. And that's out of a population of 140 million, not 300 million, 140 million, a falling population, whereas it was a rising population, the Soviet Union in the 1980s. And that was against, Afghanistan, yeah, I got some weapons from the United States in particular, but Ukraine gets weapons from almost all NATO countries. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. M. Monroe. Well, Kamala Harris is evil because she advocates for the mass murder of children. Should be blindingly obvious. Right. Thank you so much. Goodbye.